The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 504. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this installment of the PVD Cast. Well, I have been a very ill individual. Even though I don't sound like I've been sick, I have been sick for the last about 4 days, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what type of virus I caught or what the deal is, but I'm starting to feel a little bit better. But for the past 4 days, as I said, I've been on the couch just chilling, just trying to stay hydrated and let this pass. But that, unfortunately, has messed up the recording schedule for the PVD Cast. I had to switch some things around. So this episode that you're going to hear is another episode that I have in the can. I have been doing a few evergreen episodes of the PVD Cast along with Gerald Lassford so that both he and I can have one in the can in case of something like this where, you know, I've been feeling like ultimate trash for a few days and I obviously don't want to have a subpar episode, especially with a guest. So I went into the vault and I pulled this one off the shelf. It is Gerald and I talking about AEW. As a matter of fact, we recorded this about a week ago. And it's basically a little bit of a breakdown about how AEW started off so strong and has dipped to mediocrity. And if it can be fixed. So, and look, I'm going to say this real quick. We're going to chat about the positives, the negatives, and the solutions to fixing AEW. But the bottom line is that Gerald and I may sound at times that we're being super critical with AEW. And maybe we are, because we want to see it succeed. I, especially, being somebody who is still in the indies, although not working as frequently as I once did, I want a place for the talented men and women of pro wrestling to go and ply their trade. So I want another alternative. I don't want it just to be WWE land. I want it to be a cornucopia of places where people can go do pro wrestling, get paid for it, a decent wage too, and have all of the assurances of their stardom and whatnot that they could possibly have. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to waste much more time. I've given you the rundown. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Gerald Lassford and me talk about what's wrong with AEW.
Ding, ding, ding. And we're back with another state of pro wrestling. It's Gerald Lassford coming right back at you here from the pop culture cosmos, inside sports, fantasy football, and the Lakers fast break. Truly appreciate you joining us on all of our shows for the state of pro wrestling. But it wouldn't be a state of pro wrestling unless I climbed into the ring with a good man indeed. He just recently, in the past few weeks, celebrated his 500th episode of the PVD Cast. I'm looking up at him because the pop culture cosmos only in 480-ish right now as we do this recording. So I'm looking up at him, looking up. But it is, of course, well, he hasn't touched my Lakers fast break because since I do that several times a week, I'm into the 1400s, I think, or something like that, 1500. I've lost count. It's in my numbers book. But it is, of course, the man indeed behind the PVD Cast, 500th episode, with some great wrestling stars from the past, and also as well, of course, Matt Talk, which doesn't cover, ironically, pro wrestling. It is John Orlando. John, great to have you here. I've had to answer that question when I mentioned it. It's like, well, you said Matt Talk. It's state of pro. No, no. Matt, he just watch the show. Go to Matt Talk, watch the show. There you go. All right.
Well, I'm doing well, Gerald. I'm excited to be here. I have been, I've been eagerly anticipating this topic, and I have a ton of notes. I have more notes than I think we have time to talk about. But I'm excited. I can't wait to talk about AEW from all the different facets and different angles, the history of the company, the right, the wrong, the indifference that they've done. So I'm super excited. Thank you for having me.
Well, as part of our, oh, great to have you here. Yes, absolutely. And I was thinking of you, my friend, my monthly cohort in crime, my monthly tag team partner, because as you know, on the side, as part of our ever wanted to do shows, basically focusing on IPs, brands, things that you're familiar with out there in the world of pop culture, that have not exactly gone as well as they once did, and thought we would put our touch on it to see if we could be fixed. Josh Peterson and I have covered Star Wars, what's gone wrong with Star Wars and can it be fixed? What's gone wrong with Marvel and can it be fixed? TJ Johnson, my Friday show host, we've gone over what's gone wrong with Xbox and can it be fixed? And so today we're going to go ahead and discuss what's gone wrong with All Elite Wrestling and can it be fixed? And that's something that I want to go ahead and delve into. Yes, to answer your first question out there, everyone, at some point in time, I know we're going to have to go ahead and do the same for WWE. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going in the right direction as of this recording that I think that they wanted to go, but that might take like 9 episodes, but yeah, that's for another day. For right now, it is All Elite Wrestling. As everyone knows, All Elite Wrestling is now right now on this planet. If you really don't count CMLL not being out on a wide basis, because right now they're selling out where they're at in Mexico. But if you talk about national or worldwide companies, All Elite Wrestling, as of this recording, is considered the number two entity in the market space of professional wrestling. It debuted in 2019 right here in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena for Double or Nothing. As far as that show kicking off what was then a concept of All Elite Wrestling, turning into later that year AEW Dynamite, which debuted with 1.4 million viewers. So at the time, that tells me, John, you and I were probably watching that first episode. I know I was. Heading into it, I had a lot of skepticism. I was on doing the show, Pop Culture Gospel Show. There were guests I had on from all over. And we were all kind of scoffing at All Elite Wrestling in its early days and whatnot. But the fact and the viability is that this industry should always need and necessitate a major viable contender to WWE just for the business itself to be healthy, prosperous, and to give these workers more than just a localized platform or place to apply their trade. Am I not correct on that?
No, you're absolutely correct. I was all for AEW because I, again, coming from a background of being in the independents, I recognize that the more competition, the better it is for those men and those ladies out there who are chasing their dream. The more places you have to work, the better. I was at Double or Nothing in Las Vegas for that very first show. When you mentioned that, I was like, you know what? I don't know if I've ever told Gerald that, but yeah, I came out for the weekend.
You never stopped by to say hi. Huh. I think we knew each other at that point in time, too.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm thinking we didn't meet till 2020.
I have to go with the Waybacks. I'll go with the Waybacks just some of these days. Maybe go ahead.
Well, I mean, I also took it that while I was watching Double or Nothing, I knew there were matches that weren't my cup of tea. You know, just like with WCW, they had awesome matches, and then they'd have some really crappy matches. And so that's the mindset I went in with, is like this event here is going to be some great matches. There's going to be some really crappy ones as well. Of course, it was the big and the smart decision to put the belt on the title on Chris Jericho that night, if I recall correctly. And I was hopeful. I was optimistic that there was going to be someone with that $1 billion bank account of his, there would be somebody that could challenge the WWE and at the time Vince McMahon.
So with that, my friend, one of the things I do want to add in again are the early days. You had individuals with name recognition coming into play as far as from the WWE, such as at that time, Chris Jericho, Cody Rhodes, who helped originate this company. It's one of the four AEW VPs, executive VPs, along with, of course, Kenny Omega and the twins right there for you, which I don't know, you go, your love for the executive VPs of the AEW are how much you can get it. But I want to ask your thoughts on this. When you saw those four with the press conference with Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, come up with this idea, help, you know, come up with this idea. They had the money mark, as they call it in the business, with Tony Khan coming into play as far as it's concerned. What were your plans as far as how this was going to be executed? What were your ideas as far as how it was going to be done? Because they made the announcement, they had their pay-per-views, they started up Dynamite. I didn't know Tony Khan was going to take that much of an active role. I thought most of the creative part was going to be performed and done by the four individuals there to have like a booking committee per se. But it seems like even early on, that wasn't the case.
Well, I think the four heads, VPs, if you will, I thought that I had faith and I had some optimism that they would balance out, because I had seen the Young Bucks in Ring of Honor. I'd seen them in Shikara. I'd seen them all over the place and was never a fan. Still, I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. I'm just not. But I felt like,
again, if they were in the WWE, what kind of run would they actually have? I think that's what I'd probably say. Would they be at the level that they have been in other smaller promotions, or they just don't have the look, I think, that would excel for them in WWE.
But yet I still believed in Kenny Omega because, you know, just coming off of all those great matches he had in New Japan, and Cody Rhodes, I felt was motivated to prove to the WWE that they made a mistake by jerking him around and giving him terrible gimmicks. So I felt at the get-go that this was going to be a good secondary company. I'll say it that way. But I think within the first 3, 4, 5, 6 months, I started to kind of get a little bit worried, kind of get a little bit nervous because of what I had seen on Dynamite. And at that point, had they launched the Friday show? They had not yet. Rampage?
No, they didn't as of yet. They did that at a later point in time. I'll get you the date on that one.
Okay.
But first, Dynamite did debut in the fall of 2019. They did their AEW Dark that was also putting untelevised matches onto YouTube. They originated AEW Collision also as well, of course, they Rampage. And then, of course, they purchased Ring of Honor down the line as well.
So I think from the get-go, like I said, I was really for it, another opportunity. But I think that when I started seeing people that I didn't get their characters. And the prime example for me is Orange Cassidy. I don't understand the character. I still to this day don't understand the character. I don't get it. And they've not done anything to clarify that for me. And you know, again, maybe he's not for me. Maybe he's for a different segment of the fans. And that's possible. But when I started seeing some of that type of talent come in, I was a little bit that's when I started to, whenever that was, 5, 6, 7 months down the road from its initial launch of in 2019. I think that's where I started to see a few red flags, if you will.
So with that, my friend, I do want to say about the good things that have come up with AEW. Let's start off with that. Again, the talent base that they could draw from with Tony Khan being heavily influenced by certain aspects of the wrestling industry. You could clearly see when throughout his years owning and running the creative of AEW, his influences with the independent scene, for good or bad on that. You could see his influences with 1990s and early 2000s ECW with Extreme Championship Wrestling, as far as they're concerned. You can even see a lot of things that he took from Memphis Wrestling, as far as that's concerned. I can see a lot of that. You can see what he's taken away from Lucha Libre. You can see what he's taken from Japanese strong style wrestling. You can see a lot of that and put into positive fashions for what, in one way or another, because some of the matches, some of the styles that they brought in, some of the wrestlers and influences that they brought in, some of the matches that they performed, some of the angles that they've done, could be said that they're effective. Mm-hmm. Could be said that in some cases, really good, really top tier. As far as an artistic fashion, if you want to go that route, artistically, you could say they've been one of the best companies, if not the best company on the planet, as far as artistically giving you superior wrestling matches, as far as they're concerned. And as far as the talent to go along with it, they have had individuals that clearly have a star level of talent. Not only like we talked about with Jericho becoming their first champion, Jon Moxley coming off an extended run at a high level with the WWE and the Shield. You talk about obviously one of your original, two of your original four executive VPs being Kenny Omega, who was 2019, one of the best, if not the best wrestler on the planet. You could also consider as well, as far as having Cody Rhodes there, who was somebody who was well on his way to rehabilitating his career after he left WWE, and in the process went on a journey through the independent, through NWA, through Japan, and through the Bullet Club and all that stuff, into really making himself into a top You add in elements, you add in individuals who really could get into a higher level. You brought in CM Punk after his falling out with WWE, the lawsuit and all that. You brought in Tony Storm, who wasn't, maybe a lot of people will say, wasn't properly used or utilized by the WWE, and brought in there. Later on, when Sasha Banks decided to walk out of the WWE, she eventually found a home in AEW. But again, it goes back to what has you know, taken place with the influences and the creative. But let's, before we get into delve into that and what's gone wrong and how it can be fixed, tell me about the individuals as far as talent-wise. Talent-wise, All Elite Wrestling, I believe, has been in a position to get top-tier talent. There's no one that can say, haters or supporters, that could say without a doubt that Tony Khan, when he's provided the check to money to do so, to get talent, he has done so on multiple occasions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely he has. He has opened that pocketbook and spent a lot of money. The problem has been, though, is return on investment. Has he got back the star power? Look, Mercedes Moné is a fine example. I personally think that she was very well accomplished in WWE. And then she left for whatever those personal reasons would be. Okay, she's come to AEW, and now she doesn't wrestle like the same woman from, you know, 5-6 years ago. She doesn't seem to act in terms of the character as that same woman that made her successful in WWE. But Tony Khan has paid a lot of money, so he can't cut her loose. I feel like he, you know, if he cuts her loose, number one, everybody on the internet is going to lose their mind. And number two is I think that he's going to take a hit, because I guarantee that if something happened where Tony said, you got to go, all right, that there's not going to be some legal ramifications of that, and he have to pay out a bunch of money that he still owes her. I mean, you know, she's one of many examples of that that we have seen throughout the years in AEW. But I give him credit. When someone's come up, like Adam Copeland, for example, CM Punk, you know, a bunch of those ex-WWE folks, whenever that has happened, he has been one to chase them down and get them to sign a contract. But in that instance, what happened about creating your own heroes and villains? You know, I think that's the thing that, you know, you got to say when you look at something like TNA, like they've done a fairly decent job in TNA of building their own, you know, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels. You know, when you go back to the early days of TNA, you know, they get their homegrown wrestlers there that people get behind. And then they filtered in with some folks from WWE. So I just think that that is one of the drawbacks to AEW, is that they haven't built their own cavalcade or their own roster, whatever you want to say, of talented individuals. But I agree with you. I think that, number one, they've done some good when it comes time to hire somebody or pick up, have somebody pick up the check. Tony Khan is no stranger to doing that. I also think that their first champion was a very wise move with Chris Jericho, because that gave legitimacy to this company. And I think hats off at that particular point in their history for doing what was probably the smartest thing they could have done.
Absolutely. So as time went on, like I said, they have had the opportunity to grow this marketplace and have had successes. Their pay-per-views that they've had, like they had at the Arthur Ashe Stadium, that they filled out 18,000 people there. They've had successes overseas in London, 70,000 people in London, I believe, or whatever, what All In was for them. That was a huge success. And they've had a success of one going back there and had almost the same kind of success. And then they had All In Texas at, you know, earlier this year, where it was actually very prosperous for them as well. 25, 30,000 people. Again, or 20 to 30,000 people. I just will say this. The pieces are there, but the consistency is just not. And people want to try and understand what's going on with this company. And like I said, they've had all the talent that could have put them and catapulted them into another atmosphere. They started off in an area right now at 1.4 million viewers for Dynamite, that right now WWE is doing with their shows. To give you a perspective, in the fall of 2019, they got 1.4 million viewers. Right now, 1.4 million viewers is about where SmackDown and Raw sometimes go, actually even lower on occasion. The other day with the World Series, as we record the show, they were below 1 million viewers for SmackDown. So it's what happened to this company? So I think before we get really into that, we have to talk about, again, the highs of the highs. They started off so great, started off so hot, but the internal strife, a lot of it is just A lot of the problems and a lot of the finger pointing can be pointed within on this, John Orlando. When I say this, John, because of the fact that we've seen the strife, the internal strife behind the scenes, the complications with CJ Perry and also CM Punk, those two getting into it to the point where CM Punk was let go, and letting go of your biggest drawing card and your biggest name was an absolute critical mistake. Letting Cody Rhodes walk away after being an executive vice president, and somehow they booked him into a position where he could never achieve the AEW World Championship, for who turned out to be, when he left, or when he left, he wasn't as popular, but at one time, the most popular individual in your company, who turned out to become the most popular individual of your competing company. So again, I see the moments in time. We haven't even mentioned MJF, the fact that you have had individuals such as MJF, Jade Cargill, Swerve Strickland. You've had and grown individuals to a star status that weren't stars before. And you should get a lot of credit for that. Absolutely should get a lot of credit for that. Blake Munro now. But again, Ricky Starks. You have a lot of individuals that you grew, but you just, you know, for some reason or another, you've not been able to sustain them at that star level, or they become dissatisfied and walk away. So with that, when you lose a Cody Rhodes, when you lose a CM Punk, when you cannot figure out how to sustain a high level for Chris Jericho, when you cannot, when Jon Moxley doesn't continue to be a guy that generates enthusiasm for a larger consumer base, not a just a concentrated few, but a larger consumer base. When you have individuals, Adam Page, a fine wrestler, does a lot of things well, but is he the guy that is going to be able to lead your company going forward? Just so many questions. You talk about Mercedes Moné. You talk about Tony Storm. All these individuals at some point in time or another have had opportunities to go ahead and be the face of this company. And yet, through their own devices, through internal devices, or through the bad booking or bad programming by the heads of creative, i.e. Tony Khan, it has just not gone in the right direction. So now we're at a point, John, as we get closer to the next half hour and where we discuss more about what we think can be done to fix it, we get to the point now that, as we talked about, it started at 1.4 million viewers for Dynamite. We're at a stage now it is, I want to say it's much less than half. It's almost two-thirds of it is gone. It's at averages right now around 500,000 viewers. You can throw the, it's on HBO Max all you want. I don't know. HBO Max has never tooted the horn about having AEW on its roster. AEW is part of its mix. So my guess is that whatever amount of people watch AEW on that platform is minimal at best. You never talk your pay-per-views, something that is still pretty good. You have a solid base and concentrated base of individuals that watch your pay-per-views. It seems to be right now, average throughout this year, probably around 130,000-140,000 pay-per-views. But it is so hard for some people to find and access and get the pay-per-views. Their last pay-per-view, as of this recording, the technical problems with that speaks to that right there. You know, tell me about the certain problems you have had over the years with AEW, both from a technical standpoint or from a creative standpoint, when it comes with what you saw, what the potential could be there to what it is today.
Well, I think that part of the problem is that for all the money that Tony Khan has and for all of his great ideas, I bet 10 to 1 that if we could be a fly on the wall in his office, we would find out that he's probably overwhelmed, that he's trying to do way too much. That's been rumored for many, many years. He's trying to be the booker. He's trying to be the executive producer. He's trying to be the publicist for the company. Delegate. Vince McMahon was a workaholic. We all know that, but he still delegated at times when he had to. I don't understand why he doesn't delegate. I don't understand it at all. You know, it would help him out tremendously, I'm sure, stress level wise, and it would allow other individuals, other executives, other agents, whomever, to step in and utilize their expertise to help make this a better product. So I think more importantly, if you're asking my opinion, I think the reason why we've seen this downturn is because Tony thought he was ready for this and he was not quite ready for this. And I say ready for this, I mean running a multi-million-dollar national wrestling company. That's what I think he wasn't quite ready for.
So with that, you have a situation now where AEW is in a situation it's in. It's still the number two entity in the entire world. Again, arguing the fact that CMLL doesn't travel as much or as frequently to other countries, other areas outside of its localized base than that. Because right now, CMLL, as of this recording, seems to get the most consistent high number of crowds in Mexico right now, about 50, average on, I think it's about 15,000-16,000 people on a weekly basis. But again, AEW travels nationwide across the US and Canada, and also as partners with CMLL in Mexico, and then goes worldwide as well. They're clearly a number two, I believe, at this point in time. But I just think when it comes to what we're seeing from this product, there's a lot of dissatisfaction. I mean, you cannot be happy if internally with AEW, if you saw 6 years ago, you had 900,000 viewers, 900,000 more viewers watching your program than you do now. That's almost a million viewers gone. I don't know how they feel about WWE because I know that they've had that same problem. Let's not beat around the bush, John, because they've also lost viewers over the course of time. Even though up until the past few months, this WWE's product has been considered hot. So with that being the case, where do we stand with AEW? They have the Wednesday show. They have the Saturday show. They have Ring of Honor, but they don't have a TV deal. And that seems to drag out into Never Never Land. I don't know what they're doing really with them. It just seems like it's a filler of mid-card individuals, and they don't really, the days of Ring of Honor being special is absolutely gone and gone forever at this point. What are your thoughts on the product right now, being that we're in a situation that, you know, with AEW, it needs to flourish, it needs to thrive, so that WWE continues to feel the heat and provides themselves a better product? Because ultimately, as we saw in the wrestling wars of the late 90s, when one company is pushed to the brink by another company doing extremely well, as we saw with the 83 weeks in a row that WCW was beating WWE in the ratings, that's when you seemingly will get your best ideas, best angles, best stories, best matches, and best products. Where are we now with AEW? Because again, I think it's a pivotal point in the world of wrestling, because of the fact that AEW right now is clinging on to that number two status.
Well, I mean, the numbers don't lie. We know they're in a dire situation. I wouldn't say dire, because that makes it sound like they're going out of business.
No, I don't think they're not dire. I don't want to say, because again, Tony Khan seems willing to spend the money, he's been a little bit more fiscally sound in recent years, but it seems like, John, he's in this for the long haul.
Yeah, so I don't want to say it there, it's a serious situation. Let's label it as that. Is that you cannot keep going on like this. The number one thing that for me, besides, as I mentioned before, was some of the talent I didn't like. But the storylines were also problematic. The booking were problematic. And I think that we have seen this for a long time with Tony booking these weird scenarios that in a couple of weeks, they just drop and move on to the next storyline and angles. And that's the thing is, I feel like if you have an angle, you got to give it a little bit of time to get some steam. Sometimes they don't hit right away. We've seen that many times in wrestling. So I feel like he hasn't given enough time for some of those angles to blossom, so to speak. Also, too, let's go back to, you mentioned Memphis Wrestling. Let's go back to what their moniker was. Personal issues make money. Tony, that's what we should be doing here. Not. I mean, you've tried to make some personal issues like Swerve Adam Page. Okay, that started off okay, but then it got way wild with blowing up houses and burning things down and shooting people with syringes. That went way off the tracks. But it still was a personal issue. But that's what they got to do is they got to start thinking about how can we get storylines that people are going to watch.
Don't forget the fish bowls. Don't forget the fish bowls. Or fish tank, actually. 10-gallon fish tank, I believe it was.
But you see what I mean, Gerald? Like, if it worked before, it could still work now. You know, Lawler versus Dundee worked in 81. It can work here with two other individuals. I mean, you know, you pick. It's that simple. I think that's the one of the that if we were doing it ourselves, you and I were booking this, that's the first thing that I would say is we need to have personal issues because they will make money. They will draw fans. And hopefully I think I would be correct with that theory.
Well, again, AEW has a loyal base to it, which is the foundation of what you need. You need a loyal base to draw from that you know is going to be there every week. And I credit them for getting them that. They do have it. And they do have it that comes around, as I noted, John. They will have at least 100,000 people that will buy their pay-per-views. That's around, 120, 130, I think is what it averages out over the course of a year. So to them, they deserve a credit that they have at least 100,000 people that buy their pay-per-views and 400 to 500,000 people that watch their television on a weekly basis. But that seems to be it. That seems to be it, John, and it doesn't evolve beyond that. Whatever we can say about WWE, good, bad, indifferent, and boy, one of these days we're going to do an episode where we'll do just that. They do have a much larger casual audience that will be there for the special shows, that will come in no matter how high the ticket prices are, and will go ahead and be there that aren't normally there on a week-to-week basis. And that's something, unless AEW goes overseas or really has a special show like All In, it just is hard for them to maintain, because when they do the regular house shows, you can see that clearly they've had to move for a large part into smaller arenas simply because of the fact that they just cannot fill them up. They just cannot get close to filling them up. They cannot guarantee 2,000 to 5,000 is what they could probably do at this point in time when they go to different venues across the United States. At one time, they were selling over 10 to 12,000, 15,000. Like I mentioned, Arthur Ashe Stadium, 18,000 for their shows. They were really a hot product at one time. Now I'm not so sure. And I understand, and it hurts me to say this, the association with Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, because everybody, there's an industry now, John. You know, and I told you my affiliation or my knowledge of Dave Meltzer goes back to the National, the weekly sports newspaper, the daily sports newspaper that came out for a short period of time, run by Frank DeFord of Sports Illustrated. Came out, had some of the best sports writers around the world collaborating, but they couldn't just make it stick. I think it was ahead of its time as far as for this country is concerned. But one of the things weekly that was there was an article by Dave Meltzer, and then from there, the Wrestling Observer, I got into it, and so on. So it hurts me to say where his career has gone, and his latching on with All Elite Wrestling doesn't help matters, because now, John, there's two industries relating to Dave Meltzer. The money that he makes and the money that he generates for his own Wrestling Observer, and then all the money that's generated from the revenue from all these entities, all these wrestling shows, all these former wrestlers that go and tear apart what Dave Meltzer did and what Dave Meltzer is doing right now, and his affiliation and his clear preference, which is something I was taught in journalism school not to do, is have a clear preference to be unbiased in my reporting, is something that I believe he's strayed into. And it's really sad to see, John. And I just don't think it helps him or ultimately the AEW product, because it now overshadows everything that AEW does.
Well, agreed 100% on that. I mean, it's gotten so bad. There's times where he fights with his own co-host, you know, where Brian Alvarez. They go head to head over what is seemingly ridiculous, clear as day, opinions that are facts from one of them, from usually Alvarez, and then Dave is like, no, that's not what happened. And it's laughable. It really is. And it's a shame that he has turned into the top cheerleader for AEW. You can't really buy anything that he says that comes out of his mouth, especially when it comes to AEW.
It hurts me so much, my friend. If you knew my relationship and how happy I was, so happy to see that come every week, the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And when I got my mention in the Wrestling Observer newsletter, I was so happy and so thrilled, because I reported something to make him aware of it, and he related that and credited me for it. I was so thrilled. And it hurts me to see where it's gone since then, John. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, can we go back for a minute real quick about, you mentioned HBO Max real quick.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure everybody gets caught up on that. Within the past year, you know, of course, AEW, All Elite Wrestling, has been on the Turner Networks, TNT, TBS, and whatnot, in conjunction with the Warner Brothers lot. They recently, within a year, when they made their new TV deal, became also part of their showing and their programming to HBO Max. Go ahead, John.
Well, my thing is this, it also goes along with something I think you said as well. No one knows that AEW is on HBO Max, because I don't think that in all of my usage of my own HBO Max to watch other stuff, not AEW, I will freely admit I don't watch AEW on it, because I also have Sling TV, which has TNT. So I watch it there. I know that may seem weird to some of the listeners and watchers, but I'm an old man. That's what I watch TV on the TV. I don't watch it on my phone and that, but I digress. That, I think, is the problem, is it reminds me of ECW when they were on TNN. The only people who knew that ECW was on TNN were the people already watching ECW on TNN. So the same thing here, whether it's HBO Max or whether it's TNT or TBS, I don't see any advertisements heralding, hey, you need to check out this wrestling. Like, it's just not observant. I see it on TNT and TBS, but that's it. And I think that they're missing out. They want to build this company to absorb even the casual fans, but I don't think they're doing anything for it. We've said many times before on the show, why is there no crossovers? Why are we not watching Sunday football and the Jacksonville Jaguars has the, I don't know, I'll randomly pick somebody. The Death Riders are not there and we have an interview. Oh, here's AEW's Death Riders. What do you guys think about the game? Blah, 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 blah. You mean to tell me some people wouldn't go, hey, wait a minute, that's that Dean Ambrose guy. Maybe I should check out this wrestling. Or just plain simple, oh, these guys sound like they're tough. I should check out this show Dynamite that they're talking about. There's plenty of ways to market this. In fact, we even talked about the other, I didn't even write it down on my list, cheaper alternative than WWE. That should be a flag that they are flying like every single day and twice on Sundays.
You'd think they would. You think they would, and yet they don't. And that is, it's truly disappointing to me again about how the way they package it. But for the last 19 minutes of the show, I wanted to go ahead and, or thereabouts, wanted to go ahead and talk about where we're going to go ahead and fix it. Because in the show premise, with all these that we've done so far, we've identified what has gone wrong with AEW and can it be fixed. So before we go and decide what we're going to do, John, can AEW be fixed?
I think it can. I'm optimistic that I think it can. There's got to be some major changes made. Case in point, you can't have, as I counted, you can't have 40 female wrestlers and almost 100 male wrestlers on the roster. You can't do it. That's ridiculous. You need to cut those numbers in half, if not, you know, two-thirds, because that's booking problem number one. How do you book all these people? Many of who deserve their spots, I'm not saying that at all, and some that need to work to get a spot, but how do you book that with that many people? You can't. There's no way. What ends up happening is what has killed this company from a few years ago is that these terrible storylines and angles that get started and then they stop. They get started and they stop. That to me, I think, is problem number one that you have to fix, is get rid of all the extra wrestlers that you're really, you have nothing for them, let them go. The only thing that I would say, yeah, because I know somebody out there is probably watching or listening and go, oh, John, you want them to let them go so they can sit on their couch and collect a check. No. The only people that should be sitting on a couch collecting a check are those people that are legitimately injured. All right. I give Tony Khan, you want another positive, I give him credit for the many, many stories that we've heard that somebody's injured and they still get paid. And to me, I think that's admirable to do that. Because especially in this business that for years has been very cutthroat and, hey, you're hurt, too bad. You're off the road, too bad. You're not making money. You're not getting paid. Hope you get better soon. So I think that definitely Tony Khan deserves a tip of the hat for that. But that I think is the first thing that I would do, is trim down that roster. And then the second thing, make feuds and make them personal issues in those feuds.
Well, the first thing I would do is, again, you had something really going with Maxwell Jacob Friedman. And MJF is clearly still the brightest diamond that you have. No matter how much you've tried to put a lot of sheen and you've tried to, you know, scratch it up a little bit, you've tried to tarnish it, he is still far and away the best entity that you have. Now, I don't know what you're talking, you know, his career will lead to, because he is now doing more and more things outside of the industry. He's going into more movies, doing things like that. He's clearly been bitten by the entertainment bug. He's clearly got his eyes in another direction. So the first thing I would do is look to him and ask, how serious are you? Do you want to commit to this? Because if you want to commit to this, we're going to put everything behind. We're going to go ahead and make you the face once again of our company. We're going to build around you. We're going to have everything being funneled to you. We're going to go ahead and have everything centered around you, because you are the superstar that we have. Will Ospreay, Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Swerve Strickland. We've tried them all. None of them seem to be really to the point of where we'd like them to be, as you did, as you will continue to do if you were in the WWE. Because I clearly would say that if he jumped over to the WWE tomorrow, he would be utilized in a much better fashion than he is currently. So that's the first thing what I do is redo the damage that has been done to him in recent years, because he has been complicit in this as far as allowing the company to go ahead and book him into obscurity. that's a crime beyond all pro wrestling punishments, because absolutely, this is the guy that can transform your business into something much more watchable than it is today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I wrote down here, like, people that you would push right now, I mean, you're pushing MJF, the Hurt Syndicate, Will Ospreay, Samoa Joe, and I know some people go, oh, Samoa Joe, but look, he's underutilized in AEW. So I think you have to push those folks. I mean, Darby Allin, another one too, that I think they've kind of missed the boat on as well with him, because I think that there is an it factor to him, even though he does do some crazy stuff that, you know, involve, you know, fish tanks and coffins and spikes and nails and all that jazz. But nonetheless, I think you have to push those folks, you know, because you're right. MJF and Will Ospreay is an unbelievable superstar. If he can just keep healthy, that's the thing with him. I think that you have yourself two very, on the men's side of things, you have two very talented individuals in Ospreay and MJF that should be the center of what you build around for the future.
I just don't think Will Ospreay, however technically gifted is, and we don't know what he'll look like on the other side of all these surgeries that he is going to have, John. That's mm-hmm. the problem. We don't know what he'll be like at this stage of his career. You could see with all the technical brilliance and the athleticism that he brought into the ring for the late 2010s and early 2020s, how much damage it was going to be done by that. So you could literally see how well that's happened. We don't know how much he will have left in the tank on the other side of this. So that is obviously a concern. But as much revered as he is by the fans, I just don't think he can connect with a casual audience as well as MJF. I just don't think there to the point. I just don't think he has the verbal skills, the mic skills, the connectivity that I think that MJF has, that he can relate to an audience either as a face or as a heel, that MJF has. MJF is by far and away the best talent in their company, because he can give you what you need. You need an excellent technical match. You need an excellent, exciting match. You need a short match. You need a long match. You need a promo that he can give you that will incite the fans, that will get people tuning in. He is the only one, John, I think right now in that roster and on that roster that can do just that.
No, yeah, by all means, hands down, yes. He is the best out of the roster, hands down. Absolutely, agreed. But there you go. You have all these people on the roster. Start building some. You know, start building some, Tony, and then you have whoever you have as your champion. They have viable contenders. And, you know, again, if we're talking about, if I was booking this or you were booking this, I definitely would get the belt off of Adam Page. I don't think Adam Page has the it factor to be the champion. Sorry. I mean, just, I think there's somebody, there's obviously MJF, and there's many other folks that I think could be a better champion. You know, if Omega wanted to give it another run, I think that he could certainly be the champ for a short time. Same with Will Ospreay if he comes back, and he's got some relevance of athleticism and he's 100% healed up. But yeah, MJF, they should kiss his feet. Let's just say it. I mean, he is everything. You know what? You overlooked one other thing. You said he could do this match or that match. He can get down and dirty and brawl. You see all that with the CM Punk dog collar match, that he's not afraid to bleed all over the place and give a, you know, get involved in a rough match.
But that's not exactly, they don't always need that. It's nice when you can sprinkle that in. They need people who can connect with an audience and be able to tell a story. And they just, whether it's the people drawing it up or the people delivering it out on the TV, they just don't have that right now. Adam Page is nice. Good wrestler. Good talker. Doesn't have the charisma to be at that top level. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it to you. He seems to be like a mid-card to an upper-card guy.
Yeah,
that's what he is. But he's not a champion for you. But again, by the base of the fact that there's a lot of health issues and a lot of other choices, and MGF have gone away, and MGF now being eyeing Hollywood, it makes everything a lot harder. So now we find ourselves in a situation where AEW is in going forward. I do not see the demise of AEW happening anytime soon. As long as the Khans, father and son, aka father, owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then his son, Tony Khan, who runs AEW, want to continue to do so, they will continue to do so, no matter how much money they're losing, or if they're breaking even, or even if they're having a small profit based off the TV rights, or large profit off the TV rights and all that. I don't see them getting out of the business anytime soon, but no matter how much WWE is in a doldrum, no matter how much it looks like the door's open for AEW to walk in and take advantage and overtake WWE, it doesn't look like any longer that that's going to happen anytime soon. There was a brief window, John, I believe, just before the pandemic and just after the pandemic, where that possibility could have happened, where AEW could have been on more even plane, but that ship has sailed for now. They'll survive. They'll continue. At some points, they'll even thrive. But I think for this time right now, AEW is clearly going to stay at number two.
If you were in charge, would you put ROH on hiatus?
No, actually, I wouldn't. I would find some way to make it a much more palpable product. I would put and invest more time, money and resources and individuals there that you want to push on it. TNA and NXT have viable audiences. In the case of NXT, they have a viable audience that's even larger than AEW. You could realistically say NXT is the number two company right now on the planet. Anybody who would say that to me right now, I may not be able to argue with them on that. So you could make, in essence, ROH. You could do that right, but the problem is you're not applying anything to it. It's done half-assed. And you know what? It's coming off as half-assed, and it will continue to come off as half-assed until you decide to go ahead and fix it, until you decide to put any resources and time into it. So, John, by out of sheer necessity, you might have to go ahead and shelve it. I know what I could do with it. I know what you could do with it, but it clearly seems like they can't do anything with it because they just don't know how.
And here it is. It's the word of this whole conversation we've had. Delegate. If Tony Khan was smart enough, he could delegate somebody to run Ring of Honor. You know, someone like a Christopher Daniels, who spent a lot of time in Ring of Honor, that understands the product, understands the fans. He could run that. I don't know if he'd want to, but you know, again, I think that Tony Khan is so type A personality that he definitely, absolutely feels like he's got to be in total control. And I just think that that's another problem. That's another hindrance for AEW or ROH going forward.
But I'm glad I could get this off my chest. Again, I love these episodes because, you know, when I say to you, to Josh, to TJ, what I want, you know, what's gone wrong and can it be fixed? And I get to share my thoughts on what I can do to fix it, and you get to share your thoughts on what you can do to fix it. It seems like it's therapy for the mind, therapy for the body, therapy for cleansing ourselves of sometimes the filth that we see as far as the bad booking of AEW or the poorly run mistakes of Xbox and or the ineptitude that has been taken recently by Star Wars and Marvel. But I just love doing these episodes because it feels like I could just really vent. And I'm so glad that you were here to be a part of it. But before we end and out, my friend, as a general cause, I don't know when this is going to air for both your show, your channel, my channel, but give everybody a breakdown why they need to check out, as a general basis, the PVD cast and Matt Talk as well.
Well, you should check out Matt Talk because, yes, it is not a wrestling-related podcast. It is a podcast that focuses on the old show that was on NBC and ABC starring Andy Griffith called Matlock. Long story about how I ended up becoming a co-host of that. But nonetheless, what my partner and I do, my partner Jason and I, we watch an episode We're going in chronological order. We're in season 7, so only a couple more seasons left to go of this project. But anyways, we watch, we review, we discuss, we even poke fun a little bit at each episode. And it's a great time. A lot of people enjoy it. We're very happy for the listeners that tune in every couple of weeks that we do one. We do them the second and fourth Sundays of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also catch us on Facebook at Matt Talk Podcast. We also stream through YouTube and Twitch and a bunch of other places as well. But that's probably the easiest place to go and get all the lineup is the Facebook page. And then PVDcast, it's my own personal podcasting project. As Gerald mentioned just a couple of weeks ago, episode 500. I still am in shock that I got that many under the belt. But if you want to check it out, that 500th episode, there's some great wrestling guests. I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to chat with not one, not two, but three great wrestlers. Of course, WWE Hall of Famer Sergeant Slaughter, the Man Beast Rhino, and the franchise Shane Douglas. So check it out at pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts.
And for us, we usually run an episode at the near the end of the month, each and every month. So you can find it on the Pop Culture Cosmos and PVDcast channels, wherever you get your podcasts for the State of Pro Wrestling. At the end, like I said, of each month, look out for it, Indeed, where we go over the latest news and trends of the world of pop culture with pro wrestling from AEW, WWE, and more. Looking absolutely just fantastic for what we do each and every time. I look forward to it. I look forward to getting back into the ring with you, my friend. AEW, WWE, Mexico, Japan, wherever the news happens for pro wrestling. It's absolutely a great time with you, my friend. But any last thoughts before we head on out?
No last thoughts. I just appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk some wrestling with you, Gerald. And again, for folks out there, check out the State of Pro Wrestling at the last week of the month. And it's always a good time. I enjoy doing these projects with you, Gerald. So thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely. Once again, it is John Orlando from the PVD Cast and also Matt Talk. Please go ahead and check out his 500th episode on the PVD Cast, again, with all those great wrestling stars. It is available for you today on the PVD Cast, wherever you get your podcasts. And again, the State of Pro Wrestling we do every month right here on the Pop Culture Cosmos, the PVD Cast, and more. So, John, it's been great having you back on talking about the state of AEW and what's gone wrong with it, and can it be fixed? I look forward to our 19-hour episode of what's gone wrong with WWE and can it be fixed, but I look forward to that indeed.
It'll be a mini-series, folks.
You could say that again. You could say that again, indeed. So for John Orlando, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching this. We'll be back again at the end of the month covering the latest news and trends in the pro wrestling ring, right here on the State of Pro Wrestling from the PVD Cast and the Pop Culture Cosmos. Ding, ding, ding!
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Gerald Glassford and yours truly talking about AEW, from the positives to the negatives to what could be fixed. And I hope you enjoyed this conversation that we had. And I hope you found this episode entertaining. And you can let me know by contacting me through a couple different avenues. First, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also shoot me a message through the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just go to @pvdcast. And of course, you can reach me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about the show, and there's a bunch of different avenues where you can hear it. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single episode of the show. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting outlet, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while you're using your favorite outlet, don't forget to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps you out in the algorithm. And also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. But there's still one other way that you can catch every single new episode, and that is through the Facebook page at PVD Cast. Where on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast with the week's episode. So there you go. Three different ways you can hear the PVD Cast. That is, of course, at pvdcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet, or through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.